you be out this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads before Him in prayer as we start the service. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, it is ours a desire, Lord, to be here this morning. Lord, it's our want. Lord, we appreciate You all for everything You've done for us. Lord, for the desire to come this morning, Lord, to hear Thy word, Lord, it's the greatest desire. Lord, to serve You, to be what You want us to be. Lord, to grow strength and grow every day, Lord. Lord, just have Your way in this service. Everything that's said and done be for Your glory, Your honor. I give You all the praise and glory that's due unto You. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to turn to page 3 in our little capstone books. Need Him more today than I did yesterday. Amen. There are decisions I can make on my own, and there are trials I can face all alone. But You said You'd walk with me down life's troubled road, and You said, come unto me, I'll bear Your heavy load. I need You more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are higher, rivers are wider. I need You more today than I did yesterday. Help me remember, I need You more today. When I wake up in the morning and I fear to face the day, let me feel Your gentle hand leading the way. Yesterday has come and gone with those trials far behind, but I'm ever learning, Lord, and every day I find I need You more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are higher, rivers are wider. I need You more today than I did yesterday. Help me remember, I need You more today. I need You more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are higher, rivers are wider. I need You more today than I did yesterday. Help me remember, I need You more today. Amen. We come here today knowing we need Him. We need His revelation greater today than ever. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 116, I only believe. Amen.
Time is filled with swift transition, not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. God's unchanging hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, in Him who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring. If my earthly friends forsake us, still more closely to Him cling. Amen. Oh, won't you God's unchanging hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Oh, covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasure. Amen. They will never pass away. Oh, won't you hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. And when your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright your home in glory. Amen.
Depend on. Amen. Page 142, same book, back a few pages. Amen.
All ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Mercy, all right, shine on.
You take up the offering this morning. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly it is an honor and a privilege, Lord,
yes,
to be here this morning to gather around your precious word with our brothers and sisters, Lord. We are so thankful for this opportunity. We thank you for the health and strength you've given us to be here, Lord, for the desire in our hearts to climb higher in you this day.
Yes.
Lord, we just ask as your word does come forth, Lord, may our hearts and minds be open to receive what you have for us. Lord, we, as we come to this portion, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering, Lord. Let it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask these things in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Keep praising the Lord. Keep praising the Lord. Lord, the skies above us. Here this morning to answer your prayers. Amen. Anybody have a need upon their heart without raising their hand? Just keep it on your heart as we ask. Brother Finley, would you take the request?
Lord Jesus, granted another great privilege.
Yes, it is.
To hear your word, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings that you have given us.
Yes.
We ask now that you would just answer each request that's been given, Lord, with a praise hand.
Make sure
will be done in their life now. In Jesus Christ we ask. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This time we'll ask if anybody has a need or a special song you want to sing. Sister Grace.
Take a feel no one can help you, and your life is out of hand. I know a man who can. Yes, I know a man who can.
Amen. Is that the truth? Let's all stand. Let's sing out a little chorus as we ask our pastor to come. Lord, prepare me. Be a sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me. Do me a sanctuary. You're an holy, tried and true.
Sing it again. Bound. Precious Lord Jesus, that's our desire, Lord, as we've gathered here again this morning, to be exactly what you want us to be. That's why we've gathered here. That's the desire you've placed within our hearts. The Father, we could come and listen to your precious word and maybe overcome something in our life that may still be there. Or Lord, something maybe we don't quite understand. We're here for that purpose, Lord, and again that thy will be fulfilled in our hearts and our lives. We ask, Lord, again today that you'd speak to our hearts through the word. And these precious words, Lord, of life, make it life in our hearts and our lives. That everybody passing by, Lord, would see that you still live. That you have a people, Lord, that you can have the preeminence of. Just bless us this day, Lord. Give each one of us eyes to see, Lord, and make sure everything's right in our life. And again, Father, we want to thank you for your word and thank you for this opportunity. And ahead of time, Lord, we give you thanks and appreciation. We want to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In your holy, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I count it such a privilege to have what we have in this hour. Amen. Such a blessing. Let's turn our Bibles again to 1 John, the second chapter. We spoke on this Thursday evening, but and sometime, Brother Timothy, if you could bring our, put our board back up for us, or one of you brothers, whoever can, we'd appreciate it. 1 John 2, and we'll begin the 15th verse and read through to the 17th. And keep in mind this morning, saints, that, again, whoever you are, standing here with me at this time, that I am here to help you and to, by God's grace, make sure you understand God's word. And that's what we're here for. So we trust that you will keep that in mind as the word comes forth. And by caring for you, I love you. And I want to make sure every one of you make it in. So if you are going over that great, great cataract the prophet spoke of, a great fall, you know, how could I not but scream to try to get your attention and to try to make sure you're seeing the truth? Because just down over that fall is death. And I trust that you will keep that in mind as we bring forth the word. And Lord willing, we want to make it back to this, but it'll take a little time to get to it this morning. But I want it there just in case. All right, let's begin to read. Love not the world. These may seem like such, you know, some children learned it in Sunday school and different things, but my everything our Lord Jesus spoke was so powerful. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. May the Lord again bless during his word, and you may be seated. Now, being born in sin, shaped in iniquity, as the prophet spoke of, in that condition, and as we see the light of the word, it brings changes in our life. At least it's supposed to. And sometimes those changes are not real easy until you're really filled with the Holy Ghost. Then something changes. See, the desire is altogether different then. But I want you to keep in mind what we brought so far on this. And keep in mind, and I have a reason for reading these two scriptures, I'm going to read again, but keep in mind, without faith, you'll never see it. You'll never understand it. And we are not here today to try to plant education in your mind. By no means. We're not here to build intellectual knowledge. That's only against God. We're here to bring the word of God, and faith cometh by the hearing of the word, he promised. So trusting that each one of us is the individual, and as we receive the word, we will become the word. And if it doesn't come by faith, then again, that's just a good story, you know. But remember what the prophet said. If you see this, he's talking about the thoughts of God are eternal. He said, if you see this, or you understand this, you will see many things, you see. And so keeping that in mind, and as I read these, this verse here again, let's just kind of go back through it again and take it a little slower. And I've wrote down, make sure we had the meaning of different things so we'd make sure we'd understand. But he says, love not the world. Now, our Lord Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about, without a doubt. And love here in the Greek says is to be fond of, or to be well pleased, or to be content with. Love, don't be content with it. Don't be well pleased with it. No, don't be fond of it. The world, what is this world? Well, Brother Branham often called it the cosmos. And I looked that up, and it says, it is an act of harmonious, and harmonious is you agree with the things worldly or things contrary to God. Okay? The harmonious arrangement or constitution or order or government. So do we agree with it? Are we content with it? You know? Just accept that this is the way it is, this world we live in, that is so corrupt, so filthy. You know, I often wonder, how could a man or a woman or a young person ever be even begin to call themselves a Christian when they hate this world or don't hate this world? And they agree with it, and it's just, oh, it's life, you know, and they're enjoying it. How could that person ever be a Christian? It can't be. There ain't no way. There's no way Christ could be in there. Though we may make claims and all kinds of claims with the tongue, but it don't mean anything when you love this world. Okay? Go on to read what it says here, the meaning of the cosmos world is. The inhabitants of the earth, men, the human race, the ungodly multitude. If you can't see, it's an ungodly multitude everywhere, friends. You're really blind. Sorrowfully blind, you see. The whole mass of men alienated from God. Look, the homosexuality and all these different things going on, the filth and corruption, naked women on billboards everywhere, books, magazines, advertisements, everywhere you look. Dope addicts, drug addicts, cigarette ads, just nothing but corruption. How could you stand to live here? If it doesn't bother you, you need the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Didn't the prophet even use the example about one of the true evidences is crying out for the abominations done in the city? How many of us do that? Cry for the corruption. God have mercy. Until we get out of here. Until we're ready. Yeah. The ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men alienated from God, therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. They tell me it ain't just everywhere. You know, like I mentioned so many times about TV and so forth, but now Satan's so smart, he'd put it on phones and everywhere. So easily accessed, too. And then he brought Facebook, where people run people each other down. They tell they're going to do this, and they hate this person, they're against this person, and they're going to commit murder and all kinds of things. Corruption. People place themselves on their half naked. Corruption. It's everywhere. And to even think for a moment that a real believer would enjoy that, it's scary. Really scary. He said, well, I don't bother, it don't bother me. You think the Lord Jesus would have loved it? You think he would have just said, okay, I'm fond of it. I'm content with it, you know. Well, you think the scripture says I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. You see? But people get so fond of it and enjoying it. What's the sense of going about going to heaven? What's the sense of changing bodies and a rapture? Because they're so content and so fond of it. Oh my. Worldly affairs or world affairs, the aggregate or clustered of things earthly, of endowments and riches, advantages, pleasures, which, although hollow and frail and fleeting, stir desire and seduce from God and are obstacles to the cause of Christ. I'm just reading the original Greek on it. So that you will understand worldly what it is. And having a love for this world. And love of the world is just plain being fond of it and well pleased with it and content with it. My. Sometimes we don't stop and think really what our Lord Jesus was saying. We just kind of get this ear and out that ear. And if we can't intellectually, by my own wisdom, put it together, I think, oh, there's nothing more important about it. But again, if the Holy Ghost don't reveal it and open our understanding to these things, it's just like this. It'll never mean nothing to you. Nothing. It's just a pretty good thought. Yeah, pretty good subject, you know. And it's pretty good to talk about. You know, something good. And maybe you can get exciting in the flesh a little bit, you know. That's about all it means. But when the full impact of these things take place in your heart, it changes our ways. It changes our actions. It changes how we think. It changes the decisions we might make in life because of being revealed. And we'll talk about it a little bit this morning. It was kind of strange how the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart late last night and then early this morning, because I had intentions of going directly into that, and just something on the inside, as I was just praying and meditating, waiting, and didn't do a whole lot yesterday, and just kind of kept meditating as I was sitting around thinking and different things. And I thought, you know, Lord, maybe you're right. What good's this going to do if I don't really understand that I need to understand it? Yeah. What good's it going to do? You know? Romans 8, let's read there for a little bit. Romans 8, we touched on this the other night. We'll touch on it again before we change a little bit of order of what we're talking about. Romans 8 and 1. Now again, saints, we are here today for this. Get your mind off of everything else. That's what you came here for. That's another thing I would never understand is why, if I would come to service and I got my mind drifting on this, that, and the other, why am I even sitting here using up the good oxygen in the building that other people could be breathing? Why do I waste it? You know? But we're here for a purpose, a reason, for God to speak to our hearts and to make sure we're one that's going to be in this rapture. Because I'm telling you, it's only going to happen one time, friends. And you better be ready. Romans 8, first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And we're in Christ Jesus through the new birth. Who walk not after the flesh. And look what the new birth will do. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And in the original Greek on that flesh, it says the carnal. That's against God. That God hates. Read it a little bit. God hates it. When a person is loving the things of the world, what do you think they are? Carnal. Flesh loving. Sensual loving. But we're here today to change that by God's grace, if it ain't been changed. For the law of the Spirit of life, now remember, for the law, that's the controlling source, friends, of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The controlling source of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, now remember, friends, without the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, this flesh is in control. Completely. Yeah. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now think of that. Shall I read it again? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Righteousness, the things that are of God, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. So we're not here to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? He says, for they that are after the flesh, which is carnal, do mind the things of the flesh. So they're just going to do what the flesh desires, the carnal. Yeah. How do you think people do many things they do today? It's so filthy and ungodly, you know? And if you don't see a naked woman going down the street and see that filth and ungodliness about her, you need help. If you don't see this advertisements and junk going on today and see how filthy it is, if you don't see the politics, the filth in it, and all this garbage, friend, there's something wrong with you somewhere. Because you're too fond of it. You're loving it too much. You see? There's only one that can change that, and that's Jesus Christ himself in your life. Until then, it'll never happen of walking in the Spirit. But we're here today to help each and every one of us. I don't care if from the age of accountability to the oldest one sitting here. Again, and I've said it many times, your age has nothing to do with you automatically receiving the Holy Ghost. That you turn to 90 and, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost now. I turn 90 and I've lived in church all my life. That don't mean a thing. No. Oh my. It's what you've had that experience between you and God in your life. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, now I brought the meaning of carnal too, I wrote that down, which in the original Greek it says sarx. And it says the sensuous nature of man, the nature with cravings which incite to sin, or in other words, stir up sin. It is the flesh that denotes mere human nature, the earthly nature of man, apart from divine, which is God, apart from divine influence or the power to sway you. You see? So that carnal nature, carnal way about us, is so far away from God. No wonder God hates it. No wonder it's empty. No wonder he can't stand it. Because he can't deal with it. No. The only way he begins to deal with you, friends, is when he places himself inside of you. And you're filled with his Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. The same Spirit. And then as we spoke on Thursday night, then he will have the mind of Christ. And then you'll be able to see this world, how foolish and ungodly and sinful it is and how sick it is. When the men are on the job and talking about their little things and their dramas in life, to you it's so sickening. You don't want to get involved in it and be a part of them. And, well, I would do this if they'd done that to me. If my wife done this or my husband, I'd this, that, and the other, and I would show them this, that, and I'd just get right into it, carnal. Or if Christ was there, you would handle everything according to the Word of God. Everything. But sometimes people are so carnal and they don't realize it. Because they still have the love of the world in their heart. And when the love of the world is in their heart, the love of the Father or the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not there. You see? It denotes mere human nature, the earthly nature of man, apart from divine influence, and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God or disobey God. Yeah. The carnal mind is always prone to disobey God. Yeah. Because it's, and the carnal mind always takes the easy way, friends. Yeah. The carnal mind always loves pleasures. The carnal mind doesn't like sitting down and studying the Word of God. The carnal mind doesn't love reading the Scripture. The carnal mind doesn't really want to be in service. No. The carnal mind don't. It'd rather be out fishing. It would rather be out hunting. It would rather be out to the racetrack. It would rather be sitting down watching, as Brother Branham used to say times back years ago, I Love Susie, you know. Rather be watching those things. That's the carnal nature of man. It's flesh. And flesh is deadly. Yeah. When it ain't God in the control seat of your heart. Flesh is deadly. Yeah. There is therefore, let's go on now. He says here, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the carnal mind, friend, is death. It'll bring you truly to an eternal separation from God. Yeah. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But because the carnal mind is enmity, in other words, God hates it, it's against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, when we're loving the things of the world, it cannot be subject to God. No. It won't mix. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Yeah. So it's showing me already I need somebody to take control of this flesh completely. Because if I don't, I'm dying or dead. And I'm never going to make it. If something don't happen in my life to change it completely around, do I really truly don't love the things of this world? Truly, don't love it. Not pretending. Not going to say, oh, I don't love the things of the world. But yet deep down inside, it's still there. And just watch, your life always shows it because you want to dibble dabble around in it. Every chance that you get. Yeah. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That's the body you're sitting in right now. It'll quicken your mortal body. He'll bring it under subjection. I'll show you in a little bit. By His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. So we don't owe to have to live after this flesh. Not once the Spirit of Christ comes and lives in it. No. We're not debtors. We don't owe to have to live after the flesh. But He says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Telling us again. If you live after this flesh, friend, you're going to die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds or kill those deeds, kill it. And we know that anything, when you kill it, your brother's gone and killed a deer, it ain't going to get back up and walk away and say, you ain't butchering me. No. It's dead. And it ain't getting up no more. It ain't coming back to life no more. No. Kill the deeds of the body. You shall live. Oh, how many times there's so many deeds in the body that need killed. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There. Keep that in mind now. Now let's turn to Mark 16. And let's just read a few simple things here to help us understand. Because sometimes it takes the things of great simplicity that we can catch it. And God always deals in simplicity. Is that right? Absolutely does. Matthew 16 and 13th verse. Keep in mind, saints, every one of us that's sitting here, I'm here trying to help you. If I didn't love you, I'd just be like a lot of men and just take and go ahead and push the water a little faster behind you to get you over that fall. But I love you. Don't forget that. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't care. But I care because I love you. Okay? I know sometimes it doesn't seem that way. But oftentimes in the flesh, in the natural, when our natural daddy, physical daddy or mother would correct us, we thought, they don't love me. And she heard little feller say that. They don't love me. You don't love me. You don't understand. They correct you because they do love you. And the Scripture plainly tells us He corrects us because He loves us. You see? And it seems, might be times it seems grievous at the time. But it'll yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You see? When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You see, it was being expressed that, you know, some of them really didn't know really what was who he really was, you know. And it's just like this. We don't really know really what this is until flesh and blood is not revealed to us. Okay? And he says, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Same with anything God's word in it being revealed to us. It isn't what a man can reveal to us. He can only speak the word. But it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it. The two scriptures I just read in the beginning, it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it. Otherwise, we just have no clue really what that means. See? But Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what was that rock, Brother Branham said? The spiritual revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Upon this rock I will build my church. I'll put it together. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, Satan cannot prevail against revelation. Once God is really truly revealed to you, but until something's revealed to you, anything can come along and prevail against it and knock it all back down and tear it to pieces. But once you get a revelation of the Word of God, friends, there ain't nothing going to tear it down. Nothing whatsoever. Brother Branham said in the rapture, for revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. I just got done reading a scripture showing you what revelation will do. Faith is something that has been revealed to you by the preacher? No. Preacher just speaks the word. But it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it or give you the understanding of it so that you will know exactly what God wants done with His word. As the prophet said in the church age book, the Holy Spirit told him to pick up a pen and write. That little bride will know exactly what God wants done with His word. It's not going to be wondering what to do, what step to take. No, God will reveal it to you. Now, I don't reveal everything to you overnight. No. We grow as calves in the stall. And as we receive the word, we become the word. You see? So, listen to what he's saying. He says here, he said, like it was to Abraham. Now, we all know the story of Abraham, I'm sure. Here, God revealed to him that he was to have a son by Sarah. Of course, Sarah got a little impatient. She thought, well, her bondservant, you know, let's go ahead and have some of her. Ishmael come. But that wasn't exactly the one God was talking about for Abraham. The one he was talking about was Isaac. And we realized, but Abraham was promised by God. God revealed to him that he would have a son, even though him and his wife both was beyond childbearing age. But yet God revealed to him. And he counted things that were not as though they were. And the scripture says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. No. Now I'm going to tell you, Satan could come up with a lot of things to make you stagger with these things. He can make you stagger at even the scriptures I've read. if it's not revealed. That's exactly why the prophet said, cry out for revelation more than anything else in this life. It's the most important thing. He said, but brother, I need food on my table. Revelation still needed above that food. Revelation will give you, he is Jehovah Jireh, your great provider, and you'll believe it with all your heart. One way or the other, it'll be taken care of. But revelation is the most important thing. And I'm not talking about mind-building, educational, intellectual knowledge of these words of this Bible into your brain. That is so far away from God. That's why we must come here asking God to reveal the Word to me. That I may see, I may understand thy ways, O God. You see? He says, like it was to Abraham, and could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him, as though it wasn't so. Now faith, that's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon revelation, the whole entire Bible. Turn to Hebrews 11 with me, please. Hebrews 11, and begin here at the first verse. Hebrews 11, and the first verse. Now friends, I could come in here today. Well, really, I couldn't because I don't know. But I could be like some of these people before God's grace. I could get up here behind the pulpit this morning, and I can tell you, how many's happy the Buckeyes won? You think that pleases God? So carnal, deadly. But without faith, you won't understand it. It's just, I don't know why, you know. It just, but God will show you why. If you'll listen, if you'll pay attention to the Word of God, He'll show you why. Yeah. That's why when the men, it's a big topic at the shop, you know, Buckeyes. I couldn't tell the Buckeyes from peppermint patties, you know. But the thing of it is, friends, to me it's just nothing but carnality. And they don't come talking to me about it because they know I'm not interested in it. They don't come talking to me about what they've seen on television because they know I'm not interested in it. Yeah. They already know. Anderson's talking to him. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, this time of year, you know, other businesses bringing in their calendars and stuff, and they bring in their naked calendars and all that stuff. And every one of them men come in, though, their salesmen say, they just pass me by and go ahead and give it to the other guys. Yeah. Because they know where I stand. A long time ago, you know? I don't have to worry about them offering them to me. No. I don't have to worry about it. Because they know where I stand. You see? Oh, sure, it makes you an oddball many times. But I'm going to tell you what, friends. There ain't nothing in this world worth missing my Savior and what He's done for me. Nothing. No way. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith. Remember, faith is revelation. It's what God and God alone can reveal. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. That's what faith does. It'll make it so evident to you. Regardless of whether your eyes can even see it, it'll make it so real to you. Intellectually, brain matter, it may not be able to figure nothing out here. But by faith, it takes and makes you go right in, penetrate right in where the thoughts of God was. Oh my. And what it means for you. And the change it brings in your heart, your life, and your thinking process. You see? For by it the elders obtained a good report. Elders of the faith. Through faith we understand. See what faith does? Through faith we understand. Through faith today, the scriptures I've read so far, we understand. Without faith, we do not understand. It's just words. Bible words. Good words, we know it is, but it ain't real to us. That's why we must cry out for revelation. more than anything else in this life. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. See, old Darwin couldn't get it. No. He couldn't understand that. It wasn't given him to know. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel, by revelation, by being revealed to Abel, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You all know the little story on that, you know. How Cain thought it was from the works of his hands and fruits, the vegetables and all this nice, making a nice pretty altar, you know, beautiful things. But here comes old Abel with his sacrifice and slits that throat, gets that blood, and brings that blood upon that altar. Such a gooey, gory-looking mess. But it was exactly what pleased God. Exactly. Because it was revealed to him. And sometimes when God reveals things to us, friends, to the world it may look so gory and so messy. But it's exactly what pleases God. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. That he belonged to God. Yeah. He wasn't the son of the serpent. But he obtained witness that he was righteous. The same thing, you people today, in this age we live in, time we live in, when you receive revelation, a witness goes forth that you are sons and daughters of God. Yes, with no problem. Because your life will even bear witness that you are His. People see the difference in your life. You're not the person you once was. And sometimes they can't understand what happened to you. But other sons and daughters of God knows what happened to you. He obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. That's why we still speak on this morning. You see? By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now remember, the prophet showed us where Enoch was type of the bride. Okay? By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. See, Enoch didn't even have to die. Neither will the bride have to die. They're still living when the rapture takes place. Her body will change, the scripture says, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. Change from mortal to immortality. Oh my. Because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How else do you know you please God other than by faith? Because you know why? We make so many mistakes. But how yet can we know we please God? By understanding what the blood of Jesus Christ and being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, having the soul changed, knows exactly what's going on in our life and that we are overcoming. Yes. But without faith, you say you want to please God? You want to do what he says? He plainly tells us here, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because you don't know what to do. You don't know what the scripture means. You don't know what this all means about a prophet and this age and all this thing. But if God gets a hold of your heart, he'll reveal all these things to you and open your understanding. But don't give up. And listen, young people, don't you give up. No. Things may seem to be, and you may sit here this morning, you may have a lot of intellectual knowledge of this and still not see it live. But don't give up. There's going to be nothing but death if you give up. Keep crying out to God. Cry out to God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, And that he is a rewarder. Now, are you listening? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ah. You've made that the most important thing in your life. Not everything else. But you diligently seek him. You want revelation? Diligently seek him. And he will give you revelation. Yes. Sometimes it takes some people longer to get revelation than some others. But I'll assure you one thing, if you're a bride, you'll get revelation. He'll reveal it to you. Yeah. He'll open your understanding to what is pleasing to him. Yeah. Could you imagine any of us today go out of this building today without faith and go out there and try to please God? It ain't happening, friend. No. We'd just be a mess. That's all there is to it. We would try this and we'd try that. And then we'd have seen this don't work, so we'd try this and that don't work. And we'd just go on and on and on and on. But then once it's revealed to us, it becomes so real that anything else besides what he's revealed to you becomes unimportant. It's no more important to you. No. Other than what he wants in your life. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. You mean faith will bring fear? Yeah, it'll cause you to move, stand out and get going, friend. It'll make you do something if it's revealed to you. Yeah. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. God even revealed to him how big to make it, how tall, how wide, how long, everything about it. And Noah done exactly what God... Now, don't you think in that day people didn't think Noah was crazy? God revealed to you to build this ark and it don't even rain? At that time, the earth was watered by the dew of the night. No rain. Now, how crazy would that have been? People who was born at that time never seen rain. Never seen it. And yet told to build this ark. We think it's just a little story in storybooks, you know. But if you'd really think about the reality of it, friends. We think people think about you. Friends, you receive the word, you become the word. There's an ark being built, friends. And they think you're going crazy. Your life is changing. They think, what's wrong with this person? But if they could only see what you see. Oh, it's glorious. And then you don't care how crazy they think you are. You just keep on building. Keep on pressing. Toward the mark of the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus. You see? Prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. See, it condemned the world. And whether you even realize it or not, your life condemns many people. Yeah. I've had people tell me that. And sometimes it condemns to the point they get so jealous of you, they hate you. They can't stand you. They can't stand the earth that you walk on because you condemn them so greatly. Yeah. And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of the place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Look what faith does. Causes obedience. Yeah. Obedience. No problem. Yes, my Lord. What do you want next in my life? Or is it a grudge? Like the children of Israel begin to take it as a grudge, you know, and they just hated even thoughts of, now what's next, Lord? What's next, Moses? What do we do next? What do we have to do now? What do we have to give up? And to point, friend, they murmured against Moses and God so much, the serpents come through the camp during the Exodus and begin to kill them, cause many to become sick. But God, rich in mercy, dealt with Moses and said, put this serpent on a rod and hold it up. If they shall lay hand or eyes upon that rod, they shall be healed and their life be spared. Yes. In type of our Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the tree, can you really receive him? Can you really believe him? Can you really understand? For this is life eternal, to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. How else are you going to know him as he reveals himself to you? How could he be important to me unless he makes himself that way to me? You see? Well, I'll just make sure he is important in my life. You ain't going to do nothing. It's what he's going to do for you. It's by grace you are saved. Not by your works. Not what you try to do. It's not to him that will or wants to. It's to whom God shows mercy to. You see? And I think of it one way this morning. I think it's at least a part of his mercy that he lets me sit here today or be here today and listen to his word. Yeah. I could be out here doing something else. It would be a whole lot easier on flesh. There's a lot of things I could be doing today that would be a whole lot easier on my flesh and my thinking and different things and the pressure I feel inside than to stand like this pulpit is what I feel. Don't know. Line in the water would be a whole lot easier. Yeah. Just taking a drive somewhere and just getting my mind off things would be a whole lot easier. But I'll take this way because this is what pleases my Heavenly Father. And I love him. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to let him down. He's done so much for me. The only way I can even halfway repay him is do everything he tells me to do. Be obedient to his word. Express my love to him. Let's go on here. John 3. I'm not even going to get to all my quotes. I want to read John 3. Let's turn there real quickly. John 3. And let's begin here at the first verse. John 3rd chapter, first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these things or these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus had something there to show him something, you know, that many of them couldn't see. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Now listen to what he's going to say. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand the kingdom of God. And he's not talking about Logan here at the buildings and or having some kind of building set up and being a kingdom, friends. And great big seat there and this, that, and the other. This kingdom, friends, is the Holy Spirit of Christ in you. You can't see it. You can't understand it without the new birth. And how many times the prophet tried to show us that? People think I can understand all this word without the new birth. Only by the Holy Ghost, friends, we understand this word. He says, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Now see, Nicodemus didn't understand. That's why many people do the word in the scriptures. How could I have been in the thoughts of God? I mean, come on, preacher, this is crazy now. How could this be? Nicodemus had it all mixed up too for a while. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now how crazy can you get than that? You know? But he just didn't understand. He didn't know. He thought this being born again, he had to go back into mama's womb and be born again. He was so mixed up. And sometimes we can take God's word and make it just about as silly because we don't understand. Yeah. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You see? "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" The scriptures I read this morning and this, is this, how can these things be? The only way it can be is God reveal it to you. Otherwise, it's just a crazy drawing. It's just, I can't figure this out. I just don't understand it. That's why I cry out for revelation more than anything else in this life. That's why you need the new birth more than anything, friends. You need the baptismal fire of the Holy Ghost come in your heart and kill that worldly nature you was born with. That the nature of God would live and express through you. Until it comes to that, this is all just words. There's nothing to it. And we sit back as an individual and I just can't figure this out. I can't figure it out. But don't try to buffalo God and try to make God think you're born again. Because God himself is the one that gives it. So you ain't going to buffalo him. You might buffalo a lot of human beings, but you ain't never going to buffalo God. No. He knows exactly what he's done for you. Yeah. He knows exactly if he's filled you with his Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that does it. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel?" Nicodemus was very educated. Knew the law. He was a teacher to others. And yet, something as simple as the new birth, he couldn't understand. "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do," or he says, "we speak that we do know, and we testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Of course, Brother Bram showed us later on in investments that Nicodemus did finally find eternal life. But let's go on, he says here, in proving his word. "Now we see another..." It says, "no doubt have heard them say, seeing is believing." That's another old proverb we have here, but that doesn't work either. It doesn't work. Because man can sit and look right straight at anything and not see it. The word see, the English word see, has so many different meanings to it. See might mean a body of water. And see might mean to understand. See might mean to look at. And oh, there's just all kinds of words you could use. But when you say seeing is believing, you're mistaken. When you understand it, you believe it. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom. Because the kingdom is the Holy Spirit in you. So you have to understand what this is in you. And the only way you understand it is compare what it makes you do with what the Bible said it would make you do. Then your problem's solved. Then he is the Holy Spirit. So if he is in you, friends, you'll be able to compare what's going on in your life now and compare it in this Bible and say, okay, it matches now. It matches. Now I know I got something. I'm not holding on to some kind of a myth. But I'm holding on to a reality now because now the body is changing and coming subject to that word. You see? All right? Remember, saints, I'm here to help you. If I didn't love you, I would not care. But I love you. And I want to make sure you understand. But I can't give you understanding. But I can give you the word of God if you're praying. God can reveal it to you. And guess what? As in the New Testament, some received the Holy Spirit while they was hearing the word of God. Oh, yes. Future home and earthly bride. Of heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride. Like he did us, his creation to live in. Before he could come in it, he had to give us the baptism of fire. Then the Holy Ghost came in and lived. Baptism of fire. Then when you get that baptism of fire, now remember what fire does. That's the best cleaner there is, friends. Oh, yeah. They know germs live in fire. No. When you get that baptism of fire, then the Holy Ghost can come in. As it does, it burns up everything contrary to the word out of you. Ah. It won't believe nothing else but the word because it is the word. What? The baptism of holy fire is the word. Now people say they receive the Holy Ghost and then they believe all these things contrary to the word. Won't even believe simplicity things out of that scriptures and still say they got the Holy Ghost. They don't have it, friends. They've been deceived by some preacher up behind a pulpit telling them, yeah, you're filled with the Holy Ghost and no more got the Holy Ghost than anything. It's not scriptural, friends. Scripture is, as you are filled with that Holy Spirit, Christ is in you, you're able to receive that word. You see? Okay, let's go on. Now, that's what we was talking the other day, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the word. Not some system, but have a clear understanding. How do you know the word is clear and understand it? Watch it vindicate itself. What's vindicate? Proof. What's your proof that you have it? Well, you say, I see this, do that, and that. And that's what people all the time mention, you know. Well, I see these Christians over here do this. And I see these Christians over here do that. Well, I see this Christian over here. Says he's got the Holy Ghost and still smokes and drinks and curses. And they do. That's what he's trying to show us here. Well, he's explaining, says, well, you see, I see this, do this and that. Oh, yes. Weeds live the same way. Oh, does it not fall on the just and the unjust? Don't the rain fall on the just and the unjust? Absolutely. Oh, yeah, but that doesn't mean they're genuine. Just because somebody speaks in tongues, that don't mean they've got the Holy Ghost. That is no more the evidence of the Holy Ghost than anything. Though the Holy Ghost will speak in tongues. But that's no evidence you are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, you say, I see this, do it, and that. Yeah, weeds live the same way. But it's got to be the entire word. There's the thing. It's got to be the entire word to be the bride. You have to be part of him. He is the word. And what part of him is it? The word that's promised for this day when he calls his bride. Be a part of that. You get it? He says, don't lose that now. Let me read one more scripture and we'll close for this morning because I'm not going to get to this. I've been almost an hour. So hurry up here. John 14. I want you sisters to come up, please. The instrument that'll kind of push me, keep me going. Push me right out the door. Amen. John 14. And 16th verse. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Okay? Tells us here a little bit. That he may abide with you forever. Now, what does this Holy Ghost do? Even the Spirit of truth. Oh, truth? Yeah, because there's so much false ideas out there today, friends. But that Holy Ghost will give you the Spirit of truth. You'll know what's truth. Whom the world cannot receive. They don't have the Holy Ghost. Because it seeth him not. They don't understand him. Neither knoweth him. Who is him? The Word. Is that right? St. John 1. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. See what happens when you have the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost? He'll reveal himself to you. And then, oh, how different it makes life when you really know him. My. And shall be with you, or be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, the purity of God's word. At that day ye shall know that I'm in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You're going to know you've got Christ in you, friends. You'll see this flesh come under subjection to the word like it never has before. You'll say, well, if I could just quit doing this and quit doing that, what Brother Branham said, just get in Christ. It's all done. Yeah, he'll do it for you. But we're so used to preachers telling us, we got to do it, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. You ain't going to do nothing. Nothing. It's what Christ does in you. As Apostle Paul says, Galatians 2:21-20, I am crucified with Christ. I live, but yet it's not I that liveth. It is Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And by that, he didn't want to frustrate the grace of God. No. At that day you shall know that I'm in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Oh, glory. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So precious. I shall teach you all things. The Holy Ghost teacher shall teach you these things. All these things in this Bible and in the prophet's messages. He'll teach you who the prophet was in this age. He'll teach you that he was the vindicated prophet of the age. He'll teach you that he was Malachi 4, Revelation 10, 20. All these different things. He'll teach you these things. But has it been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom? You know, as the apostles and our Lord Jesus was walking one day, he spoke to the apostles because he was talking about those who could not receive. And our Lord Jesus spoke to the apostles and said, I remember half of those men couldn't even write their own name, Brother Bram said. And smart. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. What beautiful words to hear. What beautiful words to know. That has been given to you to know. Talk about blessings. Talk about mercy and grace. How much better could it be to know it's been given to you to know? And you got to listen to it. You got to listen and hear it. Yes. Remember, he said, I give gifts to the church. He gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we come to the unity of the faith, the fullness of the stature of Christ. God gave him. No. Didn't matter, bishop, he wants to be a bishop. Yeah. But God called his ministry. Gifts he gave unto the church. So you gotta come listen. Forsake not to assembling yourselves together. Even more so as you see that day approaching. And surely you can see that day approaching. Surely you know it's the end of time. It's about over with. Surely you can see that. With all the signs of time, all that's going on, the wickedness, the pestilence, earthquakes, famines, the weather patterns, all these different things. Can you not see it's the end of time? And Jesus is calling you. Oh my. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, unto your children, to them that are far off, and as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Oh, is that call in your heart? You ought to thank God that calls in your heart. Amen. Then don't fail to yield. Give your whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand. Maybe sometimes, maybe you're standing there today and you think, is this really worth it? Is this really worth it? To have to sit under this word like this and make me feel bad? Make me feel dirty? Friends, it'll pay off. It's worth it all to be his child. Just serve him through each last long mile. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus in closing. It's worth it all, be his child, to serve him through each last long mile. It's worth it all, to feel his power. Us every hour. With our heads bowed, Heavenly Father, we come to the close of another little service, and now, Lord, again, this service is history. And Lord Jesus, we come before you, and trusting we'll be able to speak something in your word, Lord, to get a hold of that little elected, oh God, and draw them in. But Lord, you told us that when that last little elect comes in, oh, then you can come and take us home. And Lord Jesus, I trust, Lord, you'll help us be a little part of that and to help get that last little one in, Lord Jesus. And Father, knowing that as we stand here today, you know it all about us, every one of us. But Lord, you promised the footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God. Sometimes, Lord, our steps in life has been pretty crude steps. Sometimes, Lord, it just hasn't seemed to go the way we thought it should have been. But yet, Lord, our steps was ordained. And Father, I trust that you'll bless us now as we part from this little building. Lord, just again, watch over us and keep us safe on the highways, Lord, wherever we may have to go, whatever we do. May we glorify you. May the world be able to see that you're alive today. In your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. It's worth it all to be his child, to serve in the room. Each last long mile, it's worth it all to feel His power and know He keeps us every hour. May the Lord Jesus richly bless you. You're dismissed.